Today, God is leading me to talk about sacrifice. And the title of the message is A Great Sacrifice. And slide one, please. And God sacrificed his son for you. He sacrificed his son. Throughout God's word, we discover the many sacrifices that God made and that man made. We can find in the Bible, in the Old Testament, sacrifices that God made with man and sacrifices that man made that wasn't involving God at all. The sacrifices of God were for his purpose, the purpose for his creation. You see, one of the things is, this is true, is that God didn't have a self-esteem issue that he wanted to prove that he's God. And, you know, hey, I need to prove myself that I'm, God doesn't have a self-esteem issue like some of us might have today or have had in the past. That we need to prove ourselves to somebody or prove ourselves to ourselves. We have self-esteem issues. If we know who God says we are, we don't need to prove anybody to anything or to anybody about anything in our lives. If we know our identity in God, that God created us and we are his masterpiece. When God orchestrated sacrifices, it was his covenant. See, his covenant with man always involved a sacrifice. Something had to die. Something had to die. Everybody say this with me. Something had to die. When God had a covenant with man, the sacrifices of man, well, you could find it in the word. It was selfish. It was through pride. It was through idolatry, child sacrifices to the idol Molech. I mean, people were impatient, so they went ahead and made sacrifices thinking that God was going to look upon that and say, hey, that's a great job. No, it was disobedience with God. So we find where man in the Bible, man had sacrifices. Sacrifices are still made today. Sacrifices toward God and sacrifices toward man. For God's purpose or for selfish ambition. Here's some examples that I came up with. We're in a military city or a military town. Those of you that are in the military, men and women in the military, they've made sacrifices. Also, the families of those that are in the military have made sacrifices. We have Kings Bay. We have Mayport in Jacksonville. We have NAS Jax. I mean, so there are so many people that understand what sacrifices are. They've made sacrifices for their families. Police officers have made sacrifices. Fire rescue have made sacrifices. Working moms and dads have made sacrifices because they have chosen to become stay-at-home moms or dads. So they have to put their career on the back burner, on hold for, so to speak, for a while. This month, we're focusing on missions. Our missionaries have made sacrifices. Some of our missionaries, some in particular that I know are very smart. They left their careers. They left their businesses, their jobs to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a different nation, different group of people. The default that many hold on to is that, hey, you know what? They're called, but I'm not called. They are called to sacrifice, but I'm not. You know what? The only sacrifice that I know of is the fact that Jesus sacrificed his life. Jesus already paid. Yes, that's true. Jesus was and is the perfect sacrifice. He paid it once and for all so that we don't have to, you know, continue to make sacrifices and bring them to the church. You don't have to bring goats. You don't have to bring turtle doves to the church. Praise God. You don't have to bring any of that stuff to offer a sacrifice to God. You don't have to do that anymore. Jesus paid it once and for all. But the question today is what sacrifice are you making today? Is the sacrifice for God or is the sacrifice for self? Some sacrifices are needful, and I understand that. Like I mentioned before, stay-at-home moms and moms and dads, well, they had a career. They had to make a sacrifice and leave their job to be stay-at-home moms or dads. So some sacrifices, I understand, are needful, but none are not more important than the sacrifice that God wants you to make, where you give up yourself to follow him. That's a very tough sacrifice. Not to mention there's all these variables of, you know, what you have and how long you went to school and how much money you're going to make and your aspirations and desires, and all of those can seem so huge, but none of them all put together do not equate that it is more important than the sacrifice God wants you to make to surrender yourself and to follow him. Slide two, please. Mother Teresa says this: a sacrifice to be real must cost, must hurt, must empty ourselves. I thought, ooh, that is good. I never heard that before. It must cost. Think about this. If it doesn't cost you, is it really a sacrifice? No, it's just flip a quarter to somebody. It didn't really, you got a lot of quarters in your other pocket. You're fine. That's not a sacrifice. It must hurt. Why must it hurt? Because you're the one that's holding on to it so tightly, and God's saying, let it go. No, I don't want to let it go. No, I don't want to let it go. And it hurts because your flesh, you yourself, me, myself, and I, want to hold on to it when God is saying, let it go. And it must empty ourselves. Why must it empty ourselves? Because God wants all of us. He doesn't want part of you. God just doesn't want your Sunday mornings. He wants your everyday mornings. He wants your everyday afternoons, every evenings. He wants your whole life. But the difficult thing is that you want to hold on to your life and you don't want to let it go. And God says, empty yourself. Give all of yourself to me. Don't hold nothing back. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 24. A sacrifice that will cost you. It's got to cost you something. If it isn't going to cost you anything or impact your life or the life of others, then what do you want to call it? It surely isn't a sacrifice. 2 Samuel 24, verse 18 says, and Gad, doesn't say God, says Gad. Gad is a prophet of God. He was a prophet of God, and God sent him. And Gad came that day to David, King David, and said to him, go, David, go up, erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. So David, according to the word of God, went up as the Lord commanded. And this is King David now, listening to what the prophet said. And the prophet told him to go. What did David do? No, I'm king. I'm not going. You go. No, David went. So, verse 20, now Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So Araunah went out and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Then Araunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Now Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up whatever. You know what, King David? Just take whatever you want. Just go ahead. Look, here's the oxen for the burnt sacrifice. Here's the threshing implements and the yokes that you're going to need to burn, you know, of the oxen to burn wood. All these, O king, Araunah has given to the king. And Araunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. Then King David said to Araunah, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. David understood, look, I'm going to offer a sacrifice to God. It better cost me something. It better hurt. It better put a dent in my pocket. It better put a dent in my, you know, in my gold reserve. If whatever I'm going to do, whatever I'm going to erect, it needs to hurt me so bad. It needs to affect my life that it becomes a sacrifice. We are to be broken before God, choosing to surrender and give all that we are to God. Psalm 51 says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. But he will despise if you give him half your heart. He will despise if you give him, you know, a half-hearted week. He will despise that. He wants all of you. And you think about, wait a minute, God, why do you want all of me? I'm a mess up. God, why do you want me? I always goof around. I mean, God, I just mess up so many times. God, why do you want me? Because I created you in your mind. That's why. Father, we come to you and we thank you. We ask you, God, that you speak to us. Holy Spirit, reveal truth to us today. We pray, Father God, that we understand the sacrifice that we're supposed to give to you. God, help us to understand that you love us and that we can't go halfway with you, God. We got to go all the way. We got to surrender it all. We got to give it all, God. Lord, that we can follow you and be in right relationship with you. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's a story in the Bible, we're not going to go there, but there's a story in the Bible where Jesus knew that the rich young ruler wanted to know how to get to, you know, how to get to heaven, how to have eternal life. And Jesus, you know, responded and told him. And it was a conversation between this rich young ruler and Jesus. And Jesus knew that the rich young ruler needed to sacrifice it all in order to have all. That may not make sense to you. Wait a minute, I got to surrender and give all to have all? Yeah, to have all that God has for you, available for you, you got to give it all away. All that you have, all that you are, you got to give it away. Broken, we must become. Now, this rich young ruler needed to be broken to where all he needed was to follow Jesus. If he sold everything, the only thing that mattered was to follow Jesus. Yet he was heartbroken because he couldn't give it up. He couldn't give it all. It says in scripture that he bowed his head and he walked away sorrowfully. Why? There was too much. There was so much to give away. There was so much to give up. There was so much to give to people that he didn't want to. He wanted to hold on to it. There's the pain. There's the cost right there. There's the hurt. There's the ability, the need for us to empty ourselves. It was too hard for that rich young ruler. So he walked away because he couldn't give it up. John chapter 1, God understands sacrifice. Why? Because he gave his son, Jesus, to die for us. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, just to give us an idea of where Jesus was from the very beginning. In the beginning, not the beginning of the book of John, but in the beginning means in Genesis, in the beginning was the Word. In your Bible, Word should be capitalized. Is it capitalized? It should have a W. Capital W, that word is Jesus, the living Word, okay? So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Listen, if it's not capital W in your Bible, it's okay, it's not illegal. Go ahead and write a capital W right over that. That is Jesus is what we're talking about here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. Let's drop down to verse 10. He, still talking about Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through Jesus, and the world did not know him, and he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in Jesus' name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God understands what sacrifice is, because he gave Jesus. When Jesus was there with him in the beginning, God gave Jesus to die for us. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. It says, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin, the perfect sacrifice. So you can't get any better than Jesus. Amen? Amen. Oh, come on. Amen? Amen? People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. Aren't you glad that God didn't zap you in the middle of you doing whatever, who knows what, in a dark place? Okay, I'm so glad that God didn't zap me, but he gave me mercy. He allowed October 14th, 1994 to happen for me, and I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. And I thank God every day for his mercy, because he's doing the work in me. Verse 26, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. That's very important. Jesus understands sacrifice. He gave himself. I've said this many times. Nobody killed Jesus. You might want to say that over and over to yourself. Nobody killed Jesus. He gave his life up for you. That makes his sacrifice and the death on the cross mean so much more. I'm not sure if that does to you, but to me it does. No one arrested him. He allowed himself. He just stood there. No one killed Jesus. He gave his life. He gave his life up for you and I. Thank you, Lord. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, New Living Translation, please. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things. What? Speak these things, exhort these things, and rebuke with all authority. You need to share some of this stuff. I mean, this is the great passage of scripture that we need to tell people. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men through Jesus, teaching us to deny all ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age. There are some people you need to exhort with this. Encourage them. Why? Well, because they're not living soberly. They're not living righteously. They're not living godly. Matter of fact, they're denying. They are living ungodly. They are living ungodly lives. They're living in the world full of lust. Encourage them. Tell them. Speak these things to them. Rebuke. Correct with all authority. He says, let no one despise you. Jesus understands sacrifice. Jesus, when he died for us, he knew that you were going to lie, cheat, steal, who knows, whatever else. But yet he still died for you. God still sent Jesus to die for you, even though he knew. Now, if I gave you $100 and told you to hold on to it, knowing you're going to go ahead and just waste it, and I give you another $100, some will call me stupid. Some will call me dumb. If I know, this is just to paint a simple picture of how God loves us. He knew that we were going to lie, cheat, and steal, yet he sent the perfect sacrifice to choose to die for you, even in the midst of him knowing you were going to do that. What love, at the hope that you would one day come to know him and receive him and believe in him. Slide 3. And many of you know this picture here. This picture is Abraham, and his son is on an altar. And I'm not sure if you could see, but there's a ram stuck in a bush there. And Abraham's about to kill his son. You see, God had spoken to him to do this. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 6, Abraham knows about a sacrifice. It says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. That's Jesus right there. He will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Let's drop down to verse 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. You ever wonder what was going through Abraham's mind? Maybe from the very beginning, maybe he was thinking, that must have been some bad lunch I had, but that cannot be God. God cannot be speaking to me and telling me that I need to do this to my son. I've been waiting for so long, God, for this son, and now you're wanting me to kill him. But wait, God, you told me way back when that I will have children as many as the stars in the sky. So this son that I've been waiting for a long time, God, you want me to take his life? Oh, how much longer is it going to take now for me and my wife to have another son if I'm going to do that? I mean, who knows what was going through his mind? Here in this scripture, we find that it was the intent of Abraham to kill his son. How do you know that, Pastor? Because the angel of the Lord had to stop him and tell him, do not lay your hand and kill your son. There was the intent to go ahead and kill his son. He knew that it was going to cost him his son, when he had been waiting for a long time. It was going to hurt. Why? Because that's his son. The sacrifice. He was willing to do that. There was no other thought going on. There was no other intent, because he was about to kill him, and then the angel of the Lord stopped him. Paul knows about sacrifice. Why are we talking about this? Look, we're looking at some people that are just, I mean, of course, God and Jesus. None of us are like God and Jesus, but we are like Abraham. We're human beings. We are like Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He knows about sacrifice. Day in and day out, as Paul went to spread the gospel, he placed his life on the line to save the lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in the New Living Translation. It says, even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people. Here's the purpose and the emphasis I want to make: to bring many people to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. The whole purpose is to bring people to Christ and Christ to the people. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law. I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. We're not going to go here, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it talks about churches in Macedonia. It says that they gave themselves first to God and then to the ministry. But they gave them first, that they gave themselves first to God and sacrifice. It says that they gave out of their lack and then some. They freely and willingly gave. It cost them to give. How much did it cost them? They were already poor. And they gave. Because it says out of their lack. They didn't have much. It says out of their lack. That's like, you know, you going in your pocket and pulling out a couple of dimes and quarters and some lint. I mean, you'll give the change and then you'll give the lint. I mean, they went beyond their giving. They sacrificed. So they understood that this sacrifice of giving to the ministry, it's going to cost them. It's going to hurt. Why is it going to hurt? Well, because they're not going to have excess money for whatever desire they might have. Stop at the store and get something to eat, get something to drink. They're not going to have that. Why? They gave. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Our sacrifice. And maybe some of you in here, you're like, you know what? I know what it means to sacrifice to God because it's cost me. There's some relationships, some friendships that I had to sever, or they severed from me because they didn't want to have anything to do with this preacher person here who God is changing. They don't want to have anything to do with me. Maybe some of you have aunts and uncles. They don't even want to have anything to do with you. Why? Because you believe in Jesus Christ, because Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you don't want to have that lifestyle that you used to have anymore. We need to understand it's going to cost us, it's going to hurt, and we need to empty ourselves. But for what purpose? For us to know Christ, for them to know Christ. These are the words that we find in Scripture, how we ought to live. So Romans chapter 12, I beseech you. You know what that word beseech you? Hey, this is what Paul is saying. Listen, guys, I really want you to listen to what I'm going to say. Please hear me out. I really want you to understand what I'm trying to tell you right now. I beseech you, therefore. That's what it means. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, your whole self, a living sacrifice. You are alive and you are living, but you are dead to yourself. You're dead to the things of this world and you're alive in Christ. Christ is your victor. Christ is your Savior. Christ is your Lord. Christ is who you follow. Not me, myself, and I, not the Joneses next door, not anybody else, but you follow Christ. Holy. Jesus is who makes us holy. His righteousness is what makes us holy, acceptable to God. The fact that Jesus is my Savior allows me to be known as a child of God, and he accepts me. Why? Because Jesus is now my Lord and Savior. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. There's no other kind of service you got to live. You got to give it all to God, give your whole life. And you start living for him. You start walking with him. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I just want to stop here real quick because I know there's not a perfect person in this room. The renewing of our mind, our thoughts, what people have said to us this past week, what people have done to us. It all started right up here. Oh, if I can give them a piece of my mind. Oh, if I can tell them. Oh, and all of this stuff. It starts up here. Our minds need to be renewed. We need to have the mindset of Christ. What did Christ do for all mankind? Even though he knew mankind was going to do what mankind's going to do, he still died. He still sacrificed. He still gave his life. What are we supposed to do? We're still to sacrifice. We're still to give up our life. We're still to walk with Christ. We're still to live with Christ. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We die, but we don't die. We live, but we don't live for ourselves. The battle today is while you have today, choose who you will live for. Choose who you will die for. Choose what you will separate yourself from and cling to. This shouldn't be something new to us. Shouldn't be something new to you. But if it is, then understand and know that God is wanting you to understand that he wants all of you, not part of you. Not only when you feel like it, but every day of your life. That you will sacrifice and separate yourself from what the world has to offer and cling and hold on to and seek and be diligent to strive after what God has for you. The sin of unbelief, and this is something that a lot of people don't understand, because I, as one who watches football from time to time, when it's on, John chapter 3:16, a lot of people know it's someone, some crazy person is in the end zone with a big, huge sign that says John 3:16. But the sin of unbelief, not believing and receiving God's gift of love, it has its reward. A reward that many don't realize or see that they themselves have brought damnation onto themselves. John chapter 3:16, a lot of people have memorized this. A lot of people have seen it. But John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. He who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." There are a lot of people that make sacrifices only for themselves, only for this life. But then you know what happens after this life? The sacrifices that you've made. I know a lot of people make sacrifices and they give to charitable organizations to help feed the poor, to help, you know, revive a community. I mean, that's all great. But after your last breath, what then? What do you have? What have you invested in? What have you sacrificed for? What have you hurt for? What have you, what has costed you? What have you given up for? And if it doesn't have any eternal value, then what's the purpose? What's the use? But we as believers in God, if we sacrifice all to give to God and we give of ourselves to God first and we surrender it all to God, then we will begin to live a life that God has created for us to live. Jesus spoke about this living sacrifice, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. It says, Jesus says to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." Let him deny himself. That's not just one afternoon. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Just one afternoon. And then every other afternoon, whenever you feel like it, then go ahead and, you know, and do the same. It says, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever denies to save his, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake," notice, "for my sake will find it. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world?" I got all the cars. I got all the money. I got all the accolades. I got all the things. I got everything that life has to offer, just to lose his own soul. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? To deny oneself and to carry one's cross is what Jesus has asked, or is what Jesus instructs us to do. To die to self, to be a living sacrifice daily. Not when you feel like it, not from 2 to 4, you know, it's been a long time, but happy hour time, you know, from 5 to 7. Not just during that time. You live for God. You sacrifice yourself to God and become a living sacrifice. A full understanding that you no longer live with you at the helm. You no longer live with you in the driver's seat. You no longer live with you numero uno. It's me, myself, and I. Jesus is your supreme authority. Slide 4, please. We must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, we can't come and go when we please. To follow Jesus, we can't. Only when we feel like it. Only when it suits our best interest. There was something that said that was said in Sunday school this morning. To follow God, to live with Christ, to walk with Christ, no strings attached. You see, the things that we do in ministry, we can't have any strings attached. We can't. Shannon and I were your pastors. Oh, even the teachers that pray and prepare and study the word, they do that with no strings attached. Listen, you pray for people, you prepare and you study, you talk to God and you listen to God on behalf of the people that you're preaching to or teaching to with no strings attached, knowing that any one of those people can go ahead and just turn their back on you and walk away. And yet you still desire to do it. Yet you still have a love to pray for people. Yet you still have the time. You put in the time and the desire to study the word so that you can explain God's word to them. And then yet, even though you know they might turn on you, they might backbite you, they might say, hey, you know what? That teacher, that preacher over at Hidden Treasures, they're a bunch of, you know, nimwits over there, a bunch of crazy people. I mean, even at the risk of them doing that. You know, we pray for everyone at Hidden Treasures and those that we have not even met yet. Those of you that have visited Hidden Treasures today, we were already praying for you. We didn't even know who you are. This is the life that God wants us to live. Even if you're not a preacher, even if you're not a teacher, but that you'll love with no strings attached. Why? Because God loved you. Even though he knew you were going to lie, steal, and cheat, and yet he sent his son to die for you. He understands what sacrifice means. It's going to cost him. It's going to hurt him. And he gave of himself to us. It's going to cost us. It's going to hurt us, and we have to empty ourselves. That even though some of you or all of you can just get up and just walk away and never come back to Hidden Treasures, that can happen. I pray to God it don't happen, but that can happen. But you know what? God has given us a calling that will still, because of what Jesus says, deny yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. That if none of you follow me, I will still follow Christ. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Paul says this, follow me as I follow Christ. I think it's really good that he said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't just say, follow me. He makes it clear, follow me as I follow Christ. He understood what sacrifice meant. Yes, putting his life on the line, that even if his life was in danger, he was still going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, you have the opportunity to pray a prayer, maybe for the first time or not the first time. Choose who you will commit to. Choose who you will surrender to. Choose who you will sacrifice and give your life to. Choose who you're going to serve under, yourself or God. There's nobody else, actually. There's no other choices. There's no C, D, E, or F. It's just A or B. Either you're going to do that towards God or towards self. If we completely surrender, sacrifice, and give of ourselves to Almighty God, then all of us will freely and willingly do what God's instructed us to do. For every Christ follower, we'll do that. Why? Because we've given ourselves to Jesus. We've given ourselves to God first and foremost. Then everything that he's instructing us to do, we'll do that. It'll be a fight. It'll be a struggle because we got to tell ourselves, no, smack our hands. No, you won't do that. I'm not saying I smack myself in the hand, but you will tell you there'll be a fight between you and yourself. As crazy as that sounds, but there'll be a fight in your life to choose to do what God is wanting you to do or to choose what you want to do. If you can't do that, if you can't completely surrender, if you can't completely sacrifice and give yourself to Almighty God, listen, the time that God is making right now, mercy is available right now. Today is the day of salvation, and I pray that you will choose not to walk away empty-handed, not walking away without Christ. I pray that you will choose Christ. I pray that you will deny yourself. I pray that you will choose the love of God, the love of a Savior who died for you and gave himself for you. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. He ransomed all of us. I like to look at that, the fact that all of us, we were headed to a place that God doesn't want us to go. And Jesus says, hey, my bill, I got that. Bill, please check. I got it. And he paid it all for us. Amen. Today, you might want to be that person who needs to listen. I pray you're listening and that you'll believe in that, receive that Jesus Christ is Lord, to have a new life in Christ. But I also want to say this to those of you that are believers in Christ, because chances are maybe you're not daily committing your life to be a living sacrifice to God. Mercy is available for you too. I'm so thankful that God creates a new day, because it's a new day to say, God, forgive me. God, help me. We talked about making goals in the day. I mean, every day, our goal ought to be, God, to follow you, to serve you, God, that whatever comes out of this mouth, whatever comes from my hands, God, Lord, that it honors you and it glorifies you. Because that's where it counts. That's where it matters. So I pray, believers in Christ, that you will say, God, forgive me. But God, I commit daily to be a living sacrifice to you. God, daily I commit to deny myself and to carry my cross for you, Lord Jesus. Or maybe you'll just say, God, forgive me. But I ask you, God, and I seek your help, God, to reach and to win the lost for however many that I can win to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, Joe, go ahead and play that song. And I just want to encourage you. This is an opportunity for you to respond.